Okay, today we're going to start a new topic. Today we're going to be talking about, we're going to begin a topic of problems and solutions. Again, this is also to try to help us to prepare ourselves mentally for Ramadan, which is less than a week away. And what this is this is a book that we're going to be using that was written by Sheikh Munajjid, who's one of my favorite scholars of today, since Sheikh Uthaymeen and Sheikh Elbani and Sheikh Bin Baz have passed away. I've fallen in love with Sheikh Munajjid, okay, who was a student of Sheikh Uthaymeen. Okay, anyway, we're going to be using his book entitled Problems and Solutions. And what this book does is it takes... Wait a minute, hold on for 1 second. Okay, there it is. Wait a minute. Okay, what this book does is it takes some common problems that Muslims encounter and tells us how to deal with these problems, how to correct them. It gives us a solution to try to better ourselves and correcting ourselves from these common problems, and hopefully bring us closer to Allah and help us to fulfill our obligations to Allah. And today we're going to begin by speaking in regards to one common problem that many Muslims suffer from, male and female, which is waking up for Fajr. We get numerous emails every day from people who say that they have a problem waking up to make Fajr. And they ask us, what can they do? What are some of the things they can do to help them to not oversleep to fulfill their obligation to Allah? And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the different ways that we can cure ourselves of this. For example, a brother may complain. He may say, I miss Salatul Fajr on most days, and I hardly ever pray it at the right time. Usually, I do not wake up until after the sun has risen, or at best, I wake up after the time for the prayer has begun in at the mosque. I have tried to wake up at the right time, but with no success. What is the solution to this problem? And again, this is what many people, male and females, suffer from. Well, we have to understand that in order to deal with the problem of missing Fajr, you can break it down into 2 points. First of all, the Muslim should know the great status of this Salat in the sight of Allah. You'd be surprised how many Muslims do not know the virtues of praying. How many Muslims do not know the virtues of fasting? How many Muslims do not understand why we read the Quran, why we pray 5 times a day, why we believe what we believe? If you understood, if a person understood the great status of a thing or the virtues and benefits of a thing, this will make them rush to do it. And in regards to praying Salatul Fajr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays the Fajr prayer in congregation, it is as if he had prayed the whole night long. That's the virtues of this Salat. For those of men who can wake up and go to the mosque, despite how cold it is, despite the darkness, despite how tired they are, for those men who can wake up and carry themselves to the mosque to pray Fajr in congregation, if he gets the reward of praying the whole night long. Okay? Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most burdensome prayers for the hypocrites are Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr. But if they only knew what they contain, then they would come to them even if they have to crawl. These are the 2 salats that are hardest for most people to make, Isha and Fajr. Okay, most people have a hard time with this. Fajr because you're sleeping, you're oversleeping. Isha because you get busy doing other things that you forget about it. But if you knew the rewards of these two salats, you would run to make them. You would break your neck to make them. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays Fajr is under the protection of Allah. Do not put yourselves in a situation where Allah has to call you to account for your negligence. So this is another virtue of making this salat. If you wake up and make Fajr, you then go under the protection of Allah. So why would you want to lose that protection? If a person understood that was one of the virtues of performing this beautiful prayer, then he would do everything in his power to not miss it. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, angels come to you in all shifts by day and by night, and they meet at Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr. Then those who had stayed with you at night leave, and they go back up to Allah, and Allah will ask them, how did you find my servants? They say, we left them when they were praying, and we came to them when they were praying. And we've discussed this hadith, which is one of my most favorite hadiths. We've discussed this many times about how the angels walk the earth looking for groups of Muslims who are engaged in acts of remembrance together. Well, these angels who walk the earth, they meet together themselves and they worship Allah. They congregate together at Fajr. At Salatul Fajr and Salatul Asr, they congregate together and worship and praise Allah. So again, that's another hadith that shows the importance of Salatul Fajr. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of prayers in the sight of Allah is the dawn prayer on Friday in congregation. That's the best prayer in the sight of Allah, is to see you gathered together at the mosque with all the other Muslims for Salatul Fajr. And it only makes sense why it would be the most beloved prayer to Allah. This is the hardest prayer you have to wake up from and get up, go out in the cold or the hot, to the heat, to the mosque to pray it. So of course Allah would find it most beloved. And those who break their necks to get to the mosque to pray it in congregation, beloved people. And then this takes us to another hadith, which we had a brother ask about. That's why I was waiting on these brothers to join, but they're late. We had a brother this weekend ask about the hadith, whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays El Bardain will enter paradise. And El Bardain are Fajr and Asr. Okay, he asked, why did the Prophet single out these two prayers? Because these are the two prayers hardest for people to make. People oversleep and miss Fajr. People get so tied up with their daily business that they forget Asr. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam singled those two prayers out. So thus, understanding the virtues of a thing may help to encourage a person to perform that thing or to do whatever he's obligated to do concerning that thing. So we need to make ourselves aware of the virtues of praying Salatul Fajr, and then that will help to encourage us if we truly believe in Allah. On the second side of that coin, the person must also fully understand the seriousness of not performing Salatul Fajr. If you understand how grave a sin something is, you'll do everything in your power to stay away from that sin. So if a person understood how grave a sin it is to miss Salatul Fajr, he would make sure that he wakes up to pray it. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, said, if we did not see a person at Fajr or Isha prayers, we would think badly of him. And what this means is they thought badly of a person who was absent from these two prayers because of regular performance. It shows that their faith was not sincere. Now, I'm constantly reminding you guys how Muslims today are so messed up in their ideology and everything else. Muslims today, we are the worst generation of all Muslims. We're nothing like the companions. We're nothing like the Sahaba. We got Muslims today running around with the nerve to call themselves the Salafi. And they are so far away from being like the original companions that it's ridiculous. We got Muslims today who are super sensitive. They can't even stand to hear a woman speak who has a strong voice. They get intimidated. They feel like they've been degraded. We got Muslims today who are so sensitive that they cannot accept the fact that they ask you a question about Islam and you give them the answer and it's not what they want to hear. They think you picking on them. We got Muslims today who are really super sensitive. So how would you people survive in the times of the Sahaba? In the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ibn Umar said, if somebody did not show up for Fajr and Asr, we begin to think that this is a person who was not sincere in his iman. We began to have bad doubts about them. So for these weak Muslims today who are super sensitive, who get offended at having someone speak to them the truth of Islam, and someone speak to them in a strong, direct voice with no playing, how would these people have taken the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions? Okay? Another hadith which indicates the seriousness of missing Salatul Fajr is this one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever prays Fajr is under the protection of Allah. Do not put yourselves in a situation where Allah has to call you to account for your negligence. Because whoever finds himself in this situation will be sorted out and then thrown on his face into the fire of hell. Now, we just mentioned this hadith earlier, but here you find more of the hadith here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is letting us know the seriousness of missing, not praying Fajr. A person who doesn't pray Fajr becomes negligent and can't wake himself up, will find himself, well, he'll be being thrown on his face in hell for missing it. So again, knowing the seriousness of missing this salat will make anyone who truly fears Allah do everything in his power to not miss it. So again, these are the two ways in which we can deal with not waking up to perform Fajr. We need to first of all remind ourselves of the virtues of making this salat, of the benefits and rewards for praying this salat. And at the same time, we need to remind ourselves of the seriousness of missing this salat. Okay? So now, in view of these two ways of dealing with this problem, let's talk about things that we can do to ensure that we will not oversleep from this Salat anymore. Well, there's many things we can do that would help us with this. For example, a person should go to bed early. This is a big problem. If you know that you have a hard time waking up in the morning, then why do you stay up all night long? Why don't you change your schedule? Why don't you change your activities? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to dislike sleeping before Isha and talking afterwards. And the Muslim should not sleep before Salatul Isha, because it is obvious that most of the people who sleep before Isha will spend the rest of the night feeling tired, and they will not be able to sleep. So what happens? They'll end up missing Fajr. Now remember, guys, we talk about all these hadiths. There's so many hadiths that we read bits and pieces of that we don't understand. And I'm always telling you guys, you have to read the entire hadith and know the history behind it. A lot of people ask the question about that hadith. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that it's not good to sleep before Isha? Because it's common sense. If you spend your time sleeping in the daytime, you're going to be up all night long. And as a result, you're going to end up missing Fajr. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked talking after Isha as well. And a lot of people will ask the question, well, why come we shouldn't talk after Isha? Well, the reason behind this is a lot of people spend their time talking all night long. And thus they end up staying on up all night long doing nothing constructive. And then they end up going to bed an hour before Fajr and oversleeping. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked sleeping before Isha and talking afterwards. Because a person will end up throwing off his whole routine and he'll end up missing Fajr. So thus, one of the ways of dealing with the problem of oversleeping and missing Fajr is to go to sleep early. Schedule yourself accordingly. Another thing that we can do is make sure that you are clean before going to sleep. And I'm going to tell you what this means. A lot of times, for husbands and wives may get engaged in an activity or two during the night, and then they it ends up time to wake up for Fajr, and they're too tired to get up. They refuse to get up because they know they got to take a ghusl first. Perhaps it would work to your benefit that after you finish taking care of your business, that you try to take a ghusl before going to sleep. So that way you don't feel funny about or dragging out of the bed wanting to get up to make Fajr because you got to take up a shower and it's too cold. So you might want to make sure that you're clean before you go to sleep. Try to knock that out the way. It only takes a second to jump in the shower. Knock that out the way before you go to sleep for the night. So that way you can get up for Fajr. Also, we should try to make sure that we have a sincere intention and that we make ourselves determined. You'd be surprised. You would be surprised at the power of the mind. We can do all kind of things if we put our minds to it. There's a lot of people I know who don't even have to use alarm clocks to wake up because they're so determined they'll tell themselves, I'm going to wake up at 5 in the morning. And they actually do. Okay? I see it every day working third shift. I see a lot of people who sleep on a job, but they make sure that they're up at 4 o'clock to knock their workout before first shift comes. And I find it so amazing to sit there and watch these people actually come in, go to sleep no matter what time, but they wake up on their own. At 4 o'clock, they're up bright and early, and you would think they were up the whole night. Okay? So be determined and set your mind to wake up. And this will also help you. Also, when you wake up, you should try to think about Allah. Because remember, every time a person goes to sleep, Shaitan ties three knots in the back of your neck. So when a person wakes up and thinks about Allah, each one of these knots are loosened. For example, when a person stands up, one knot is loosened. When a person performs wudu, another knot is loosened. Okay? That's what that hadith means. It means Shaitan wants to try to keep you sleeping, to make you miss your salat. But each time you remember Allah and take a step closer to Allah, it drives Shaitan back and his knots unleash upon you. Okay? So this will also help you to make fajr too. When you wake up, remember Allah. Stand up, walk around, go make wudu. Be determined to knock this sleep off of you. Just like people who work third shift do. They wake up, I don't care how sleepy and half dead they are, at 4 o'clock they up in the morning, they doing their job. And first shift comes in and think these people done worked all night long when they didn't. Alright? Another thing we can do to help us to perform Salatul Fajr is seek help from one of your family and friends. For example, have the mosque. If you have a masjid that's open 24 hours and there's a brother in charge of security or something, have him give you a call. That's what they used to do at the mosque I'm from in Cleveland. Every night, every morning, every family would get a wake-up call for Fajr. I remember being a little girl. Every morning that call meant go to school for me too, because my mother would not only wake us up to pray, but hey, it's time to go to school as well. Do things like that to help one another. Or if you wake up and your husband is still asleep, as a wife, you wake him up and encourage him to get up and go to the mosque. We have to remember that Allah tells us, He says, help you one another in virtue, righteousness, and piety. We should help one another to do those things which are good. So if you're a person having a hard time waking up for Fajr, have your family or your friends give you a call or do something to help you. And I'm going to tell you something else about the Muslim women. The Muslim woman should encourage her husband to get up. Because if your husband wakes up for Fajr and goes to the mosque to perform it, you get some of the reward too for waking him up. Also, you can make dua. We're always telling you the importance of making dua. Making dua, asking Allah to help you to wake up. This is another remedy for this problem as well. Make dua and ask Allah to wake you up, to give you the strength to resist the shaitan and wake up to serve him. And then again, there's other things we can do, such as using alarm clocks, things like this. And also throwing water in the face of a person who is sleeping. Now this may seem cruel to some, but this is from the Sunnah. Throwing water in the face of the person who is sleeping. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the man who gets up at night to pray and wakes his wife. And when she refuses to get up, he throws water in her face. And he praises the woman who gets up at night to pray and wakes her husband. And when he refuses to get up, she throws water in his face. So this is what you can do, especially you women. You're trying to wake up your husband. to have him go to the mosque to pray. He won't wake up. Throw water in his face. Throw water in his face. This is a good deed. Okay, because that will shock anybody to get up. If you got some water being thrown in your face, that's going to wake anybody up. Another thing that we can do to also help us to not oversleep for Fajr is do not sleep alone. Now, again, here's another hadith that many people will hear and they don't understand the meaning of. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade a person to sleep alone. What this means is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would forbade a person from sleeping alone because when you are alone, you don't have anybody to wake you up for Fajr. So if you're going on a journey, go on a journey with another brother. Okay, if you are a man and you're traveling out of town on a journey, you'll be away from home overnight, you should have another brother with you so you can help each other and encourage each other to wake up for Fajr. Okay? So thus, again, these are just a few of many things that we can do to help ourselves to not oversleep and miss Fajr. Also, we want to be careful to not stay up too late praying. Okay, Salatul Layl. Some people will stay up late, too late, and say they're going to make Salatul Layl, but they end up oversleeping for Fajr. You just sat there and defeated your purpose. Again, you need to station yourself accordingly. Everybody knows himself. Everyone knows himself. If you know that you have a problem waking up for Fajr, then you want to make sure that you don't spend too much time up at night praying. And you end up oversleeping and missing Fajr. And this happens a lot during Ramadan. A lot of people say, okay, I'm going to stay up, wake up late at night and pray to get more blessings. But they end up blowing their blessings away by missing Fajr. Okay? Also, make sure that you don't eat too much before sleeping. And I'm going to tell you something else about this, too. A lot of people complain about the dreams they have. A lot of people have bad dreams. Well, you need to ask yourself, what kind of food did you eat? You have to be careful of what you eat before you go to sleep. For example, it is a proven fact that when you eat chocolate and go to sleep, you're going to have nightmares. Nobody knows why, but it causes nightmares. If you eat something sweet before going to sleep, you're going to have a bad dream. So you need to be careful. Don't eat too much before you sleep because it'll make you lazy. And you have to be careful of what you eat too, because what you eat may determine if you have nightmares. And again, we want to remind you, do not sleep after Asr or Maghrib. The reason being because this is the middle of the day. If you take a nap after Asr, you're going to be wide awake at night. You take a nap after Maghrib, you're going to be up all night. So again, you have to schedule yourself accordingly. So thus, these are just a few things that we can do to help remedy ourselves of this problem. And finally, I want to talk about another thing, which is a big innovation. There are some so-called Muslims out there who claim that if you recite the Surah of the Cave before sleeping, that this will help you to wake up. This is not true. There is no authentic hadith on this planet that states reciting Surah Al-Kahf will wake you up for Fajr. So we just stay away from innovation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do the things that I mentioned to you. All the things that I mentioned to you today are from the authentic hadiths, the authentic sunnah. These are the things the Prophet ordered us to do to wake up for Fajr. Never did he say reciting the sewer of the cave will wake you up. So I don't know where this comes from. This is Vida. This is not true. So beware of people who tell you that stuff. Okay? So thus, we're going to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow, we're going to continue by speaking about another problem that many people have, which is excessive laughter. Excessive laughter. We got some Muslims who think laughing is haram. Laughing is not haram. But remember, anything that is excessive becomes haram. And we're going to talk about that in more detail tomorrow. So we'll stop right here for today. And if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.